At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What is up, crime crew? Welcome back to another episode of Murder Unscripted, the podcast that immerses you in the true crime genre like nobody else. I'm your host, Ed Hydock, along with a very special co-host today, one of our research producers, the amazing Candace C.J. Johnson.
Hey, crime crew.
I think Melissa had Backstreet Boys tickets or something today. I don't know what she's doing. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, Candace, you did such an incredible job putting together the Patrick Dennehy case last week. And I know how much that story meant to you. So we really wanted to give you this opportunity to kind of see it through and host the conversation today with two very special guests. We have Patrick's mother and sister, Valerie and Wynn Brabazon.
Thanks, Ed. I am really looking forward to this because this case really touched me. I don't know why I feel so connected to this case. Patrick was a young man with a promising future, and his life was tragically cut short. He was more than just a college basketball player at Baylor University. He was a son, a brother, a friend, and someone who had big dreams and aspirations for his life. You know, Patrick, from what his sister tells me, was loving, goofy, smart, and cared about those around him and not the things that the media portrayed him to be.
That's a fact. And what better way to learn about the real Patrick than from the people who knew him best? So you ready to do it?
Let's jump right in.
All right. Excellent. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, Wynn and Valerie Brabazon.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
How's it going? Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate this.
Yes. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. We go out of our way to kind of tell the real story behind the headlines. And I feel like victims' families don't always get the chance to just talk. They always get either edited or little clips of what they say in the newspaper. So this is just a forum for us to talk about Patrick and learn what a great guy he was.
Yes, absolutely. So today, I really appreciate you guys for coming on and talking a little bit more about Patrick and his life and personality. I wanted to jump in and start asking a couple questions just to see how he lived his life as a person. Can you share a little bit about what Patrick was like and what his passions and interests were?
Well, his interests basically as he grew up, like I said, my sister actually that live in Oakland, California, and we raised him. But as he got older, I met his stepdad, which is Brian Brabazon. And we actually pushed him and encouraged him to do good in school. And he always loved his sports. He loved that. He started with baseball, but then we seen his potential going to basketball. So from that, he went on to basketball, and he had so many people, well, I should say friends and family that supported him. And he was actually good at doing basketball. He wasn't trained on anything. It just came naturally to him. He always was a loving kid. He got along with everybody, all his friends and family.
Definitely agree with that. He was always into his sports, always into taking care of me. He always watched over me and stuff. So he was just really caring and loving, and he always was there to help other people and whenever need be. And he was just a really good person.
I read that he was like 6'3" by junior high, wasn't he? So like basketball, I feel like natural thing for him.
Yeah, but he actually never played basketball until he was a freshman in high school. He was told to go there and try out for basketball because they just didn't have uniforms for him for baseball because he played baseball. And they said, go try out for basketball. He had no clue how to dribble and run, but he learned.
And then he just grew into like a towering 6'9" powerhouse. Like, that's crazy.
It is.
Yes, he was very good about anything he tried. He was a very good kid. And that's what I hated, that his life was taken away. He kind of crushed the whole family's life, friends and family. We missed him so much every day.
I can understand how that can make you guys feel. What were some of your most cherished memories about Patrick?
Well, I would say when he was, I have to say pretty much his whole life, but like I said, he was an easy kid to raise. I never had any issue with him at all. I mean, he did little jokes and tricks on his mom all the time, joking with me. But like I said, he's a little precious kid, even when he was a baby. A little baby with a head full of curly hair. He never loved the curly hair. As he got older, he shaved his head all the time because he never liked to see all that curly hair on his head.
I wish I had curly hair.
Yeah, I wish I had some baby pictures to show you. He's, like I said, he was a good kid. Everybody loved him.
Well, when I know you were pretty much like his sidekick, and you know, during our pre-interview, you shared some memorable moments. So let's jump into some of those.
Yeah, just memories of, I loved going swimming with my brother during the summers. I'm like, swimming was always my sport. I always loved to swim, and our parents would drop us off for the day at the pool. We go swim all day, and so I remember we didn't have much money. My brother would take me over to Taco Bell and be like, play that little like coin game. It had like water in it that bubbled up. And if you landed the coins on the platform, then you won like a taco. And he was always so good. Like, he had won us so many tacos.
So, I remember that game so vividly. It was like air, just little bubbles. Yep. You just pushed on.
I'm like, so that was always fun. I always enjoyed it. Enjoyed going swimming and going to Taco Bell, where you'd win us all these cheap tacos. So
amazing.
Patrick always had to take care of his sister, no matter what they did. If he went somewhere, his sister had to be with him. Mm-hmm. And if Patrick was with his friends and they came over and wanted to go somewhere, I tell him, you got to take William with you and take care of him. That's what his friends and him, they had to take care of her. They watched over her all the time.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They didn't see me either. Wondering, where is she?
So good.
And Wynn also always protected her brother too, because if I tell Patrick not to do a certain thing, and if he does it, Wynn knows about it, but she would not let her parents know. She'd be like covering up for her brother, because I know Patrick wanted a tattoo before he was, I forgot what age, but I told him after he graduated, he can get a tattoo he wants. But yet on the basketball team he was on, all the kids were getting a little Batman thing on their ankle. Batman thing, and he forgot to put socks on one day and came out in the living room. Too late now. I said, you got a tattoo. When did you get that done? You're trying to cover it up.
it's a birthmark. It's not a tattoo.
Right.
That's not a birthmark. I already know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that tattoo for at least a year before he saw it.
That's awesome.
And when you found out about the tattoo, Mom, what did you do? Did he get in trouble?
No, he didn't get in trouble. I just know that he was doing it just to upset his mom, but he don't do that. He loved his mom, but he just wanted to be in the crowd with the rest of his teammates. And I understood. He wasn't hurting anyone, so that's what I was happy about.
Yes. So Patrick had a birthday recently, January 28th, if I'm not mistaken. What did you guys do to celebrate him?
I worked that day, actually, so unfortunately I worked that night, but whether it's his birthday or not, I'm always thinking about him. I always talk to him and tell him about my day. So I'm like, every day is the day that I spend with him.
Aww. That's so cool, because it's so many years have passed now. I think it's awesome that you still do that. Like, he will never be forgotten.
Yeah, that's true. And I always put stuff on Facebook for everybody to let them know it's Patrick's birthday again. Wish him a heavenly birthday, because we always remember him. He was always in our hearts.
Yeah. And yeah, on Facebook too, a lot of his friends, they post too on his birthday. Right. And I know a lot of times we have a few of his friends, they go up to visit him too at where he's buried at.
Very cool. Do you guys remember the very last conversation you had with him? Like what you said to him?
We were out at a pizza place, and we were talking to him over the phone, and he was just telling us about his day, what was going on with him. And like, I spoke to him because he was talking about that he was struggling through some like biochemistry classes. I'm like, I could help you with that. I'm great at chemistry. Like, I could help you with that. And he was just like, oh yeah, right. And so we're just, we're joking on the phone and stuff. And, he told us about the dogs that he had gotten and stuff. So he was just honest about what was going on, and unfortunately, nothing that he said to us in our last conversation pointed to anything was wrong going on. Yeah. And the last things that we said to him was love you. Like we always disconnected saying I love you.
Yeah. You know what though? There's something about that, because at least you can, so many people regret the things they didn't say when they lose a loved one. So I think it's great that you were able to say that. Like if that's the last thing you ever said to him, like what better thing to say?
Yes, yeah, agreed.
And we didn't know anything was going on, because like I said, the pizza place, he talked to me for a little while, and he told me about the dogs too, and that he wanted television because him and his roommate was moving. And I'm wondering what roommate he's talking about, because I didn't even know he had a roommate. But anyway, our conversation cut short because he really wanted to talk to his sister. And so that's where the conversation left, is with his sister talking.
Well, and it's, I'm glad you brought up the dog, because I feel like that dog was also what set off this whole chain of events. Because what happened, his roommate came home and realized this new dog wasn't being cared for, right? That was like one of the first things that was noticed.
Yep. And he had two dogs. So like the roommate came back to the apartment, and the dogs were, I think they were locked out on the balcony or in the bathroom or something, so they were locked up, which wasn't normal.
And then the other thing was that he never called on Father's Day. Is that something that he would always do?
Yes, he would always do that. Father's Day and Mother's Day, he'll never miss those dates. Our birthdays, whatever holiday or birthdays, whatever's going on, he never missed that. Yeah, besides, he said, just send me what. Flowers and some pearls on some flowers he had sent me for Mother's Day, and Father's Day is the next month. And when he didn't respond to that, we knew something was wrong.
Yep.
What does that feel like? There had to be just a constant pit in your stomach.
Yes, it was, because I like tripped out and I called his stepfather, and I said, you need to find out. Well, he the one actually told me that Patrick hadn't called him yet. And I go, that's strange. So after the day passed, we decided that we need to get someone to find out what's going on over there, because we tried to call Baylor University to see if they knew where Patrick was. And we didn't get a good response at all. It's like they didn't know. And I'm going, like, that's kind of weird, because he's on a basketball team.
Right.
And they don't know where he is during the whole day. When he was at University of New Mexico, they always knew. When I called, they knew where he was. Mm-hmm. But Baylor, they didn't do that. They was like treating me wrong. We couldn't get the answers we wanted. And then when we couldn't get the answer, we knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was very nervous and upset. All of us was. Because we wanted to know where Patrick was. And it scared us, you're missing your kid and you don't know where he is.
it's so official when a family member has to report another family member missing, like officially file that report. So what does that feel like? I mean, that's got to be one of the worst feelings imaginable.
It is the worst feeling, and you never want to feel like that ever. Ever. I still feel like that because I'm missing my kid. You know, I wish he still would come home and say, hey, mom, I'm home, you know, or something. But I know that's never going to happen. You know, I wish he was here. I mean, taking my son's life away ruined pretty much, like I say, our whole life. My son, Patrick, had planned his whole life around his family that he had at that point, you know, to take care of his family, me, his stepdad, his sister, everything. Because he always said, mom, when I make it famous in basketball, I'm gonna have my sister. She's gonna be my maid. I go, really? I said, it's gonna be the worst thing you ever wanna do.
You'd have found everything shoved in closets and stuff.
but you owe him because he took care of you all those years as a child. So.
Yeah, he wants some payback from her.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the day of the incident when you first heard about what happened to Patrick. What was the immediate reaction?
When we first heard, it was from what I remember, like we were watching the news. I'm like, we saw on the news that, you know, they located a body out in the field. And like my parents try to tell me, oh, don't look at the TV. But of course, you know, I looked and stuff, and like just seeing they had the body bag and just seeing the size of it, I was like, that's definitely Patrick. I was like, there's no way around it. I was like, that's Patrick. So like just knowing that was really heartbreaking.
Yeah, because we heard about it when we got to New Mexico, because we dropped in Patrick's girlfriend and her fiance off. But that's hard to even know. I mean, to even take in there. Because when we got to Texas, we had to find out what happened to him. Because like I said, they was claiming they didn't know what he was, what happened to him and all that. So we had to get someone to help us find out what happened to Patrick. That's why we went to Good Morning America in New York. They flew us there, and we was on TV searching for Patrick, for anybody that heard anything or seen him, give us a call and all that. And that was very hard. And then when we got back to Nevada, Good Morning America paid for us to go to Texas, to Baylor, to see where Patrick was and see what was happening. And from that part, I talked to the detective and stuff like that, and I asked him, what have they did? Have you guys searched for him? Where do you search at? And all that. And I was pretty upset because I was like yelling and pushing, and they were saying, hell, you must have been a police officer or something before. I said, I was in the military. Yes, I was. And I was an MP.
Good for you.
Yes, and I wanted to know where my son was because I pushed him hard. When I did that, and that's when they found out, I think, the next day before when we had to leave out with all Patrick's belongings because we had to clean out his apartment there. And once we did that, the next day, they found his body, and that was in the area that the news reporter, I forgot who it was, they had taken us to.
Yeah, they took us field and showed us where they looked, and even my mom pointed over towards a tree and said, did you guys check over here? And she was about to go over there, and they said, we haven't checked, but we'll check there tomorrow. So she stopped going towards that direction, and that's where they stated that they found him, was over there.
Yeah, but even with all that, when they found his body, my son was 6'10", and when you have dead weight, it's heavy to drag him or to do whatever. That's why I know this investigation, whatever they did, it should have been pushed a lot thorougher than what it was. Because I know there was other people involved in it. Because how can little skinny Carlton lift him up? He can't lift him up like that. So someone had to help him. So it's like it's a big thing. We still heard over the whole thing that Patrick is gone.
I can tell. I mean, just from looking all these years later, I mean, you guys are still emotional about it, and with good reason. You should be. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad.
Yes, we are. Because he was part of our family. He's going to make a big difference in our family. Mm-hmm. He didn't want his family to suffer anymore and to be stressed about bills or anything else. But because we still don't have no answer. We don't have an answer why Carlton even did it. Why did he go through that whole process? You know, why? You know, my son was trying to help him, and they was accusing him of all this stuff that he did, drug-wise, messing around with Carlton's wife, and all this other stuff. And Patrick wouldn't do that. He wasn't a druggie. He didn't do drugs or anything like that, and he definitely wouldn't mess with anyone's wife. He had his fiance. So it's just a lot of stuff they were saying that wasn't right, and I know my son wasn't like that.
I feel like they used him as a patsy to kind of all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. They didn't care about a man's life. They just tried to pin stuff on them to cover up what they were doing is my take on it.
That's the way we feel too. They used him. I told my daughter that today, they used your brother. I know they did.
I watched the documentary back in 2017, and I did not like how Dave Bliss pretty much accused him, like you said, of, you know, being this bad person, you know, a drug abuser and all these things, and not holding any accountability to himself and the part that he played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, yeah, Coach Bliss really slandered my brother's name and just was looking out for himself. That's all that he was doing.
But you know, Candace, if you ever would, if you had been around to meet him, you would have seen that Patrick was a loving guy and he would do anything for you. Like, I raised him up too. If you was around just to see him when an elderly person come through a door, he was going to hold the door open for that elderly person. I always told him to do that. You expect that person, if they need help, you help them. He will help the elderly person if they need help with their groceries, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And the time leading up to the incident, did Patrick, did you guys notice any changes in his behavior or mood?
Yeah. Did he mention anything about feeling threatened or anxious, or was it a normal conversation?
To me, it was a normal conversation. He never mentioned feeling threatened or scared or worried. He didn't say anything that seemed out of place, that seemed awkward to me.
He said he was okay, but the only thing that threw me off when we was at the pizza place was why was he getting a dog? And I did kind of question him on that. He said for protection, and I'm going, why? What's going on? And I think he did say something about some Hawaiian guys or something, two Hawaiian guys or something. I don't know what he had to do with them or deal with them, but
he and Carlton both said they felt threatened, but then Carlton was behind all this. So that's where the wheels fall off to me. It sounds like there was a legitimate threat aside from Carlton.
I think it might have been one, like I said, I was pacing stuff together, figuring it could have been the two Hawaiian guys that was threatening the both of them, but they threatened Carlton to do something to Patrick. So I don't know. That's why I said I'm still going to be up in the air about exactly what happened. I would love to know what happened, but I probably never know. So
how has losing Patrick affected you and your family mentally and emotionally? Because I know it had to be very difficult. And, you know, when you were young, you know, during this time.
It probably took me a good 8 years to look at it in a better light and stuff. Like, spent a lot of time angry. And it took a lot of time to go ahead and forgive Carlton for what he did.
You're the second person we've talked to in 2 weeks that has chosen forgiveness. it's crazy to me that there's this wave of forgiveness going around, because I do feel like that's the way to move on, is to take this weight, this hate off your shoulder. But that's got to be so hard.
It is very hard. I don't know whether I forgave Carlton or not yet, but all I know, like I said, I wish it wouldn't have happened, and I wish my son was still here. So in a way, it may be that I have forgiven him, and I hope him going to prison taught him a lesson not to do that again, because I know he's out walking around somewhere. He's out of prison. So I just hope he realized he's getting a second chance at life.
But I'm glad that you have that hope for him, because I think that's the, I don't know, I still don't know if I believe that people can be rehabilitated. Like, I feel like people are who they are, but doing prison time like that, it has to change you in some way. So my only hope is that he matured and has just a different outlook on life and can be a productive member of society now instead of what he was.
Well, I hope he's a productive person in society these days, because if you go through that again, he will not have another chance.
What has been the hardest part of dealing with the aftermath?
Is it just not having him there for holidays and the big moments? Like you're missing out on, like, I don't know if you have any children or things that he's missed.
Yeah, when you have kids, you know, they don't have their uncle, you know, present in their life. You know, you've gotten married.
Yeah, I think about those moments, like graduating high school and college and having kids, getting married.
There's a lot of things that Patrick has missed out with his family. And like I said, his sister marriage, his nieces and nephews, all of that. And I miss him all around with everything, because I'm the mother and I'm the grandmother of my daughter's kids. So it's a lot of good memories Patrick has missed out on being with us. Because like I said, if Patrick was still here with us today, our life would be different, because he would have made it different for us. And he was always the person, like I said, would keep us happy and smiley and happy through the whole thing, no matter what it is. He always tried to correct things. Things are bad, he always tried to correct it.
I want to kind of like shift a little bit. It's getting a little heavy. So are there any stories or moments with Patrick that you feel captured who he truly was as a person? Because I know when you had tons of stories, you know, being his, you know, little sidekick, and you shared a lot of those moments, you know, during our pre-interview. So I want to, you know, talk more about that.
Just anything of him being goofy. I'm like, we used to watch MTV growing up, and we'd be home doing chores, and he'd just come out dancing all goofy, like his butt in the air, like hopping around. I'm just like, oh my goodness, you trying to dance.
I tell Patrick also, definitely you a white boy.
He was always offbeat. It was always something goofy.
No, he had no rhythm whatsoever.
Bite his lip. We do lip bite. A lot of pointing too. We just like to point. Yeah.
Stepdad always did that too. Yep, definitely.
He was always just goofy and just good memories. Hanging out with him and his friend John, like three of us on the electric scooter, all three of us just crammed on electric scooter going all over Santa Clara and San Jose all the time. Yeah. You'd see little short me, then his friend in the middle, and he's in the back.
And giant Patrick. That's awesome.
What was Patrick's style like? Because we're in the era of like 2000. It's the Y2K era, and fashion was kind of pretty big back then. Was he kind of like a stylish guy? You know, was he?
He was. He had
tons of clothes, tons of shirts.
His eyebrows, his face, everything looked better than mine. He always had black eyebrows. He did always need his clothes pressed, his shoes. You got to have always nice shoes. Yeah.
He took forever in the morning. If I didn't get up early enough to get in the bathroom before him, I would not. I probably had like 2 minutes in the bathroom before my mom was like, it's time to go.
Yeah, because I had to stop him going in and messing my face cream and stuff, because he used my face cream. He said everything. No, he always liked to look neat and nice all the time.
One morning I remember he would kind of trim up his hair in the morning sometimes. And I was trying to get into the bathroom and I knocked the door while he was clipping his hair while he dropped the clippers and cut like half his eyebrow off.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, it's fine. So like,
it'll grow back.
The other half off. So he's like, we're even.
You didn't even try to like draw it in. You just cut the other one off.
Even when something like that would happen where most people would be like, I can't believe you did this. No, he was just like calm. He was like, it's fine. I'll fix this.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's hilarious.
I just wish Patrick was still around so you guys can meet him and you understand what we're saying about him.
Well, he sounds like the guy I would have got along with. He was like a prankster, a jokester. I would have got along with him.
And he was always smart too. I mean, I used to help him a lot on his schoolwork because he went to school. He had basketball practice, which he practiced until probably 7 p.m. But he came home late and he had to do all his homework, which he'd be up late at night trying to do homework, and I would go to bed. And then if he didn't finish it, I'm the one that dropped the kids off at school. I would take Patrick to work with me so he can use one of the computers at work to finish up his homework.
Yep.
And he did it. He pushed himself. He pushed himself a lot on the stuff he did.
He stayed up with his homework and his assignments. He trained a lot for basketball. I'm like, so if there wasn't school going on, like he was still, they're still training. He's still in the weight rooms lifting weights. They're still practicing. And stuff, so they were doing all that. He was going to Bible study often and stuff. So he was always busy. And like in the summertime, he was working in the summertime, but he also was doing like the basketball camps and everything. So
it sounds like he had such a good head on his shoulders, and it always happens to the good people. It's freaking awful.
Yeah.
But I want to say something about him taking care of his sister. We used to always go to the amusement park, Great America, and California.
Yeah.
And Patrick worked there a couple of summers, and we would go there, and
I went on in Vertigo when like you kind of hang there and I go to sit down and he comes around to buckle me in.
He wanted to make sure his sister was in there tight. He said, I gotta make sure it's in there tight. It's my sister.
He put me in there very tight. And when the ride was done, everybody else is lifted up to release, and I'm stuck in the thing because he put it in. And I was like, oh my goodness, and he had to like come by and like push it, the whole lock thing in like even tighter, and I'm like, oh. I'm like,
yeah, you wanted to make sure nothing happened to his sister, that was for sure.
I would have undone your seatbelt for shaving my eyebrow off.
Nope, that wasn't him. Doesn't matter, he wouldn't. It doesn't matter. If I would have done anything, he would not let anything happen to me.
Well, that's good. What were you hoping for in terms of the investigation? I know you mentioned a little bit briefly about it. I wanted to kind of elaborate on that more. What does justice for Patrick look like to you?
I think it wasn't fair because whatever he did, like I said, he took Patrick away, a good guy that never bothers anyone, that loved to take care of his own issues. He was good in school. He loved hanging out with people, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't see the reason why Carter should have taken his life. And the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. And that's what Carlton did. And I think he should got more time. He shouldn't be out right now enjoying his life while he took my son's life and he's gone. I mean, why should he enjoy life when my son don't get to enjoy life?
What are your thoughts on him being approved for parole? He finished this little program in prison and then was paroled.
Oh, definitely. Our dad, he always kept track of anything that was going on with Carlton in prison and stuff. So he would always get all the information, like when he was going up for parole. And this last time when he went up for parole, this was the first time that, you know, my dad and I, we talked about how we forgave Carlton, and I told him to go ahead and type up a letter just stating that we're in support of him being released, that he's forgiven on our end, and he doesn't need to be in there. And I know my mom feels a bit differently, but you know, every day is different. I'm like, there's days that, you know, we can forgive, and there's days where we're so angry. So we just have to be, we had to do what we thought Patrick would want to. Patrick was so nice. He wouldn't want that.
I forgive Carlton. It's just that I think they should have punished him more. I don't think he got enough punishment. I don't think he even learned. Who knows what's going on in his life now? All I know, he's enjoying his life, and my son is not.
And I know that can be very tough. If you had the opportunity to speak directly with Carlton Darson or Dave Bliss, what would you say to them right now?
I don't know what I would say. I probably want to know why he actually thought, why he took it out on my son to take his life. I do want to know that. I don't know why I ever would ever find out. I don't know. That'd be a hard, hard discussion, yeah, what I would say to him.
Well, I would just let him know that I forgive him, even though I might want to reach out and slap him, but
that's
fine.
That's fair. That's fair.
Just want to let him know that I forgive him. And like, same here. I wish we knew exactly why he did what he did and stuff, but he has stayed silent all these years. I don't think we'll ever know. And quite honestly, I do believe that there's other people involved, and I think that's why he's stayed quiet.
And yeah, I also feel like there were more people involved, and I feel more people should be held accountable. But I'm also a firm believer that whatever is done in the dark will eventually surface. And if there are or were more persons involved, that they will be held accountable.
Yeah, I believe that too, Candace.
Yeah, we do hope so. And as for Dave Bliss, I don't think, as much as I want to forgive him and say I forgive him for his actions, I'm like, I don't think I'm
trying to blame Patrick for all that stuff. He wasn't even around Patrick. Like, he tried to say he talked to us off and on when they had that, what do you call it, the very first thing where Patrick was mentioned, he was on the TV and stuff like that. That's the first time I even heard from him. I even talked to him at all, because it was one of the other coaches that I talked to all the time about Patrick, and he acted all weird after Patrick was murdered. I couldn't even talk to him. It was like, it was a whole big thing, like all of them knew something had happened, but they just keeping quiet about it.
When you guys talk about Patrick, I feel like it's so easy to think about all the bad stuff that happened to him. And I see even when you are talking about him in a positive light, it's so hard not to let those thoughts creep into your head because it is so tragic. So when you on the daily, when you think about Patrick, are you able to put that bad stuff aside and just focus on the guy that he was?
It's hard. I'm like, because you think about the good stuff, and I share these stories with his nieces and nephews, my children, and like, it's hard not to cry. And I try to keep his memory alive and who he is with my children, so they know about him. I'm like, it just really sucks that he's not here, because I really wish he knew his nieces and nephews.
And that is really hard for her, because like she said, she has to explain it to her kids what happened to her uncle. And plus, I give her all the pictures that I have, because I'm getting older and I want her to have the pictures of Patrick or his jacket or his jerseys. I give her all that so she can have that memory to show her kids about her uncle. So I know it is a lot harder on her.
It's hard, and I try to just keep from crying and stuff, because I don't want them to associate these good memories I'm sharing with them with some sadness.
What do you guys do to help cope with the grief? Because I know grief can be a lot. Is there any support through therapy, through church?
Basically just church.
Church. We go to church a lot.
Yeah.
I never really, like, I would go to church here and there when my parents would take me, but I never really grew up in a church. But really after my stepdad, Shelby, passed away, and my mom asked me to go to church, and I went ahead and went with her because I knew I didn't want to be angry how I was with losing Patrick. I knew I had to make a change, and so I went ahead and went with my mom, and that was like 10 years ago, and I haven't stopped going. So the kids go to church and stuff with me, and I sing in church, so yeah. It's something that I have really plugged into and really enjoy.
When I grew up in the church, you may not remember I live with my sister that live in Oakland, and my niece, they always would take Wayne to church, even though she didn't like it. But
I probably blocked it all out of my memory.
But she grew up knowing to be in church, and she knows there's a God and everything.
Yeah, so. I grew up believing in God and Jesus. Yeah. I don't recall going to church that often, but nowadays I do. I go to church every Sunday, as long as I'm not sick or something like that. So I'm there every Sunday with the children.
Is that what you believe to be the road to healing? Or will you ever heal?
I feel like we'll always just be sad. We're always going to have a missing part in our heart.
That's right.
And we just learn how to live with that. That's
it, by going to church.
That's pretty. We just have to live with it, and we go on with our. I feel like we just go on with our days. And like a lot of times, you know, I'm busy, so there's sometimes in a day where my brother's not on my mind because I'm busy doing this and that with the kids. But you know, I always think about him. That's for sure. It may not be every second of the day, but I think about him all the time.
But it's always hard with people when you lose a family member. You're never going to be the same.
Yeah. And I can completely relate to that sentiment. Healing doesn't have a time limit. You're going to have your good days, and you're going to have your bad days. It's all in how you handle it or attempt to, you know.
Deal with it, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like going to church just gives me clarity and makes me stronger emotionally, and I can move through my days.
How do you feel about the way Patrick's, I guess his character was attacked in the media? Like, I feel like you touched on it earlier. Like, I feel like the media didn't represent the real Patrick.
I feel disappointed that, you know, my brother was portrayed in a negative light, because that definitely wasn't him. Negative things sell. Of course, you know, negative things are going to come out, but it's just disappointing that, you know, he was portrayed in a light of that he was a bad person, and oh well, that this happened to him. You know, and that's not who he was, and people should care about what happened to him.
The coach portrayed him in a bad way, saying he's a drug addict doing this. He never did stuff like that.
And that's why, like, I don't think I could ever talk to him. Because he portrayed Patrick in such a bad light, making him sound like he was a druggie doing all this other stuff that was negative. And And even years later, when he was interviewed, he still said the same things and still portrayed my brother in a bad light, even years later. And like, he's a person, Dave Bliss is a person that's not going to change.
I know when Patrick first got into basketball, he was at University of New Mexico. And we knew that he was going to be playing on TV. All of us were there watching him on TV. He would dribble down the court, do a dunk in the hoop. He'd bring the whole board down. And yep. We'd be cheering and happy and everything. And when we call and talk to him, he'd be all happy. Go, yeah, Mom, Dad, I did this, I did that. Go, yeah, we seen you, baby. Keep it up. You're doing a good job. And let me say now I'm about to cry now.
I'm sorry, this is hard, guys. We try to keep it lighthearted, but unfortunately the nature of this is just, you know, we like to hear about Patrick, but sometimes talking about those good memories drags up the bad too.
So. And it's okay. It's okay. Were you and your family aware of any problems between Carlton and Patrick before the incident took place? You know, upon my research, you know, they were friends.
Well, they were friends, but I didn't really know Carlton. I heard about Carlton after he had murdered my son. So I didn't know. I think his stepdad had talked to Carlton once, I think he said he talked to him once, but I don't know what about.
Yeah, I think our dad talked to Carlton after Patrick went missing. That's what it was. And he pretty much just stated that he didn't know where Patrick was. And stuff, because my dad heard that Carlton and him were roommates and friends, that they were hanging out all the time. And all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't know where Patrick is. So, yeah, we didn't know anything really about Carlton beforehand. But from after learning about Carlton, what we learned is that, you know, they were teammates, they were friends, they were living together. My brother allowed him to move in with him just because he was going, I guess he was going through a divorce with his wife and everything. And he didn't have a place to stay because he was getting kicked off the basketball team because my brother got the position and he didn't. So I don't know if if all this occurred because he was jealous of my brother or what, but my brother, like I said, he was always there to help people out and stuff, and he was always caring for other people. And even in this situation, I'm like, he saw a friend in need that was down on their luck and brought him in.
I would love to talk to him and just talk to him now and find out where his head is now and if he would say the real reason. It would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Carlton had got the position, but what I heard, Carlton and Patrick was fighting for that position. And Carlton knew that Patrick was a lot better than him, so that's why I mean, he got into his head that he would probably shoot Patrick. So I don't know, because I know neither one had the position yet, but they had to fight it out. It was them two and there was another guy involved too with that position, which was, what was his name?
I don't know who the other one
was. There was another guy involved in it too, and he actually had the position, but Patrick and Carlton had to fight out for the last position.
So it essentially could have been a jealousy or envy thing.
It could have been, but it was quite silly of him, because if they found out he killed Patrick, would it leave him nowhere anyway?
Exactly. It's so senseless.
Yeah.
And you want to just think they're young and dumb, but it's somebody's life's at stake. This isn't you cheating on an exam or sabotaging someone. It's murder.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This case really is perplexed. There's so many unanswered questions. I feel like there are further things that need to be investigated. I do believe the bigger issue was a cover-up in the scandal of Baylor and the university. And unfortunately, Patrick's life, you know, was taken.
There was something actually going on too when we got to Texas.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I was talking to the detective and they said they had looked everywhere. They wasn't willing to, they didn't want to even go out and research again in those areas. But that's when I told you I was pissed off. I was upset that they wasn't doing what they supposed to have been doing. And the detective actually decided to go out again to check. And that's when he found Patrick's body. They didn't want to put the effort in to find him. And I wasn't giving up. Like I said, we had news reporters take us out to the site. They said they had searched and stuff.
Well, I do feel like what Candy said is true. I mean, stuff with the advances in forensic evidence, forensic science, and also people like to talk. And the people who do these things always run their mouth to somebody. So I do feel like you may not have your answers now, but you will. I think there was someone else involved as well, but if that's true, I think it will come out eventually.
Yeah, I hope it come out soon because I'm getting up in age.
I hear you.
Because I want to know before I go to my grave.
I really do hope you guys get the closure that you so rightfully deserve.
So too.
When we, went through the process of, what cases we were going to discuss, because, each month we have a theme, and this theme is the theme of March Madness that surrounds cases, involving sports. And I said, oh, let's do the Patrick Dennehy case, because it was, a big thing in the media back in 2003. And that week that I pitched it, I literally had on a Baylor sweatshirt that I thrifted that entire week.
And didn't even
realize it until after I pitched it. There was a reason that I feel like I was placed to research this case.
Well, it's funny, guys, because Candace just came on board with us and I'd worked with her for years, but we just brought her on to help out. And this was her kind of first assignment. And I was so happy to see how invested she got. She felt like she knew Patrick by the end of it, which was all we hoped for. It's great. It really helps us tell his story too when you can feel such a connection.
That's good. Thank you for that, Candace.
No problem.
God works in mysterious ways.
Yes, absolutely. And this is gonna be a memorable case for me. I'm never gonna forget it, and I'm always gonna feel connected to it, and because I want the closure, because to me it feels like there was never any real closure. But Wynn and Valerie, I really appreciate you guys being here with us today and sharing Patrick's story with us. I understand how deeply and personal and emotional, this is. So, I thank you. Your strength and
thank
courage.
You
and allowing our audience to join you on this journey means a lot. This narrative, is filled with love, loss, resilience, and it's evident that Patrick was cherished by many. And your insights, more importantly, have provided us with a deeper understanding of who he truly was versus what the media portrayed him to be. So I thank you guys for that. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners and viewers? Are there any charities or foundations where they can participate or share their memories?
Just tell the audience that Patrick will live forever. And we love him so much.
Mm-hmm. And I know when he did pass away, the Bay Area Ballers, they did put together a Rumble in the Bay organization in memory of him too. Mm-hmm. So they do that every year. And that's, unfortunately, we don't have the chance to be a part of it and get out that way to California and stuff. But I know they're still doing the Rumble in the Bay every year.
Yeah, it's a charity. So anyone want to put in any funds they can.
Very good. And I'll put up a little picture of that, maybe the number or something where they can find it too on the screen. So when I edit this, Well, guys, thank you so, so much for this. Seriously, really, really appreciate your time. I know it's the middle of the day, so it's really great that you could do this.
And, well, we thank you for interviewing us. Usually any chance that we get, if somebody wants to hear about Patrick, we say yes. So I'm happy good. That you reached out. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you guys, and we appreciate Patrick for everything he was.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
See ya.
Take care.
Man, that was a pretty personal retelling, I guess. And they, I saw you. You were close to tearing up at one point.
I was. I literally just had to like stop myself and regroup and be like, okay, Candace, you cannot cry. You can't cry. You can't cry.
Well, you did. You did great. You did awesome. Yeah. How do you feel? Are you just like, your weight off your shoulders?
It's like, woo. Yeah, because it started to get like really heavy. And like, I know what it feels like to lose a loved one. So everything that they were feeling, I have felt and still sometimes feel, you know?
Absolutely. 100%. Wow.
It's crazy. And it was hard. There were little moments where they got emotional, and then it was hard for me to kind of like pick back up.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, was able to like, okay, you good. You got to chill. You got to chill.
It's tough. We've always preached like, investing yourself in these stories is the only way to tell them properly and give them justice. So I think you're doing, you should get emotional. These are real people.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Now my dog is barking upstairs, by the way. It is like dog park day here at Murder Unscripted.
Well, if today's episode touched your heart, we truly encourage you to share it with your friends, your families. Patrick's journey is truly worth sharing, and spreading his story is a wonderful way to pay tribute to him. Also, make sure you subscribe to the MU podcast so you won't miss out on future episodes. We have some more amazing stories lined up for you, and we'll be thrilled to have you join us on this journey.
Could not have said it better myself, Candace, and you did an awesome job today. You nailed it, and I thank you for filling in for Melissa. And honestly, we can can her, because we can just can her all together. If you want a permanent host position, just let me know. I'll cut her. Cut her like some bangs. Well, guys, if you like what you heard, please be sure to rate, like, subscribe. And if you want to send us a message, you can hit us up on Facebook, Insta, TikTok at Murder Unscripted. You can email us at murderunscriptedpod@gmail.com, or you can check out our website, www.murderunscriptedpod.com. And that is all for us, Crime Crew. We hope you enjoyed this bonus content, and we look forward to diving into a brand new block, new month, new block next week. So it's called Spring Cleaning. Womp, womp. We're cleaning out our inboxes. It was what we came up with. So, but it's great because we can, now we're going to get a chance to cover the cases you guys want to hear. We're covering all listener suggestions, and we can't thank you enough for everybody who sent over some cases. We had to pick five because there's 5 weeks. So yeah, thank you for all the suggestions. We picked some good ones, great stuff lined up. So until then, remember, be nice. Don't trust everything you read in the papers about people. And remember, in the words of the great Melissa Spivey, perverts don't wear signs that say they're perverts. See ya.
See ya. Bye.